Good morning. Karen and Kristen, thank you. It's those sacred duets, and we'll hear more from you at the offertory. I so look forward to those, so thank you. For those of you that don't know, I'm Dennis Russell, and I've been gone. My wife, Cheryl, we left in early January for what we thought was a couple weeks of vacation, and we just got back last week. So through a little bit of vacation and through family health, and again, we just want to thank you for your prayers, your emails, your cards. Cheryl's mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and in January, and it went very, very quickly. And so it's really good to be home, and it's really, really good to be with you. So thank you. Those of you that have announcements, I think I'll ask you to start working your way forward. And I think let's just stand up and for a few minutes continue the fellowship. Our theme today is really going to be about peace and comfort. And so welcome those around you. Okay. Oh, the sound of joy. The first announcement is we actually have a visitor today, a special guest that we're really hoping arrives by 11:30 because they're going to tell a story today. And many of you have met this individual. They've visited us, I think, one time before. And so it's Herr Dr. Sigmund Srenk is going to be with us today. Now, actually, it's an alter ego of our pastor, and I don't think the search committee knew they were getting a twofer. So, anyway, the introduction in terms of Dr. Srenk, it's inspired by the book Prodigal Son by Father Henry Nouwen, and it led to somewhere between 12 and 17 dramas. And we're going to benefit from one of those today. And I think my prayer would be that God's gifts of creativity and story are going to be used today and tell us, again, demonstrate for us something of God's character.
Good morning. It is Drift Creek Camp time again. There are a lot of registration forms like this back in the foyer. And just to alert you to the first date, an early bird discount can be applied to registrations postmarked before May 1st. So next couple of weeks, time to get your registrations in for camp. Thanks.
Just a quick announcement on behalf of the pastoral leadership team to draw your attention to the announcement in the bulletin about next Sunday's congregational meeting on sexuality. There's more information about that in your boxes. Please come. We're hoping for a good turnout.
So how many out there are frenetically busy? Is it busy, busy, busy? I think sometimes when I think about call to worship, my biggest challenge is separating all the noise and all the stuff that's going on in our lives and saying, I want to be available, God. I want to be present. And the songs that were selected today that Clyde's going to lead us in, as I was reading through those, I actually continue to go back to 145. And I think what I'd like to do today, as we prepare our hearts for worship, is to just have a few minutes of silence open up your hymnal to 145. Read the words of that hymn that we're going to sing. And just reflect on how big God is. So let's take a few minutes of just silent worship, prepare our hearts, and then Clyde's going to lead us in some hymns.
If you're able, let's stand together and let's sing that hymn, 145. Let's go to number 2.
Number two. Seven.
Love unites and strengthens us.
Thank you, Clyde. Would our faithful ushers please come forward? It's time for the offering. It's pretty simple. Father God, you call us as a church, as individuals, even our place in the global church, to know you and to make you known. We give our offerings to that end. Amen. It's time for all of you future leaders, all of our children, to come forward, and Ken's got a story for you.
You bet you are. I appreciate the wait. Oh, you came up here with such energy, but then you sit down quietly from Aiden back there to Paul, to the rest of you. Man, sometimes I sit at home and I think about things. And one of the things that I was thinking about, I was wondering whether any of you have any toys at home. One person has. Some of you
have toys.
Oh, yes. Josiah, what's your toy? Your favorite toy?
Legos.
Legos. Didn't have Legos when I was a kid. Emily, can I ask you what your favorite toy is?
Horses.
Say that again.
Toy horses.
Oh, okay. Do all of you have a favorite toy? Some says yes, and some says no. I had a favorite toy, even though I know I'm old and kind of bald, but when I was your age, and I was your age one time, and I was Dad, I said, I really want to have a bike. I really want to have a bike. And my dad said, well, you know, the turkeys didn't make as much money this year as we thought they were going to, so don't know if we can afford a bike for you. And I had two brothers, Roger and Wayne, so we got together and we said, let's keep talking to Dad about getting us a bike. So we kept talking. And I don't know if the turkeys made more money one year or if it's because we were so persuasive in what we said, but Dad got us a bike. We had to share the bike. That was okay. And we had fun riding all over the farm. We used to take pieces of cardboard with a clothespin and we put it in that bar that goes back and the spokes would hit it and go drrrr and make a sound like a loud muffler. Yeah. And my mom and dad used to take us to these, I don't know what you call them, sort of, where the cars did all kinds of tricks. They jump over ramps and they go sideways and oh, we used to watch that and we'd come home and we made ramps and we'd jump over with our bike. And oh man, we had fun. But we kind of got bored one day and noticed that on our bike, some of the paint was starting to peel off. Man, that can't happen, not on our bike. So I says to Mom, well, actually, me and Wayne and Roger discussed this, and we said, which one of us can go in and ask Mom if we can get some paint? So I was elected. So I went and asked Mom, said, Mom, is there any paint around? She said, what do you want paint for? She's suspicious right away. What are the boys up to? We'd kind of like to paint our bike. Because this bike is so fast. And it can go so long. We want to keep it nice and shiny. I used my best persuasion. Oh, she says, I do have some blue paint if you want it. So each of us boys got a brush and a blue paint. And we painted that bike. It was shiny, clean. And we stepped back and we looked at it. I said, you know, there's something missing here. Our bike needs a name. A name. A name for our bike, Aiden. Yeah. So we talked for a while and I said, oh, what are we going to call it? I said, it's blue and we go fast, faster than a streak. Let's call it the blue streak. We could just call it just bicycle, yeah. Well, so that's what it was called. So that's what we called it, the blue streak. We painted it on there. That bike went even faster with that blue paint on there. Yeah. Now, can you picture that bike in your mind? Can you see how fast that bike went? I bet it can. But I want to tell you something. When I was older and we were moving off the farm, I was in the barn and buried under all this stuff was the blue streak. And so I said, Dad, can I have this thing? Well, he says, I don't know, you need to ask your brothers. So I asked him and he said, hey, go ahead and take it's a pile of junk. So I brought the blue streak here this morning, if you don't mind. Can I show it to you? Okay. What'd you say?
Not very blue to me.
In the world happened to my blue streak? I mean, this thing was fast. Oh, you can see the blue streak up on top of there? Well, yeah. What'd you say?
I think you have to paint it more.
Yeah. Well, taking a look at that bike taught me something. No matter how nice my things are, I buy, somebody gives to me, they're all going to end up trashy. eventually. They're going to rust. They're going to go whatever. Everything. Jesus talked about, and I noticed in his stories, he does a lot of this talking about our friendships with people. And that's one thing that doesn't wear out. The friendships with people, when we pay attention to them and we take care of them, they don't end up like this bike. In fact, they can just get better with age. I've got some friends that have been friends of mine since I was in college back in 1963, and their friendship is just getting better every day. Yeah. So, lesson learned from Blue Streak, take care of your friendships. Take care of your mom and dad. Take care of Ken Beachy. What good listeners you've been this morning. I want to tell you something. When you head back down, I'm going to move the Blue Streak over here so we can get it out of the way. And then I'm going to set up some other toys that I used to have. And after church, you can come up and look at them. We don't want to take time to look at them right now, okay? Thank you for being such good listeners. I'll see you later. Head back to your parents.
I'll be reading from Philemon, the only chapter in Philemon, verses 8 through 21. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has also become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And the other verse we'll be reading is Galatians 3, 23 through 28. Before the coming of this faith, we were held prisoners under the law, locked up until the faith that was to become would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
So Philemon is about reconciliation and relationship between Christians. It shows the interwoven integrity of peace and justice with salvation, regeneration, and church, which we usually separate and set against each other. Onesimus, I struggle, you know, Philemon, Onesimus. Onesimus, ironically the name means useful, was a slave of a believer named Philemon in Colossae who had apparently stolen from Philemon and fled. Onesimus met Paul while they were both under arrest and he became a Christian. Paul gave this letter to Onesimus to carry back to Philemon. And Paul's suggestion is a wonderful example of how we might approach divisiveness that can occur when managing different opinions, even today, regarding social justice issues within the church. It's a powerful and inward, powerful when our inward regeneration aligns with Jesus' teaching. So the earliest church was dealing with an unjust social force. In this case, it was slavery. Treating them not as opportunities to draw people into deeper relationships, understandings, and not as opportunities to draw people into deeper relationships. Sorry, treated them as causes or crusades against which to marshal, or not as causes or crusades against which to marshal arguments and divide the just from the unjust, but as opportunities to draw people into deeper relationship understandings and applications of the gospel. Even though Paul's call for Philemon to welcome back the runaway slave, Onesimus, as a brother, and it logically tolls a death knell to slavery, Paul invites Philemon to do so out of love for himself and Onesimus, identifying himself with Onesimus just as Christ did with us. He says, if he has damaged you in any way, put that on my account. It will be Philemon's choice to rupture the fellowship over slavery if he pursues his options and uses his power as a slaveholder against Onesimus, not Paul. So let's introduce Dr. Herr Sigmund Schrenk, and let's pray a blessing. Father, we love that you give us each gifts. We love creativity. We love story. We love ways in which you communicate to us via song and via others in our lives. We're so appreciative of El Doctor. We're so appreciative of that other guy, Matthew. And we just ask a special blessing today that through this journey, you would reach us in a profound way. Amen.
Thank you.
Welcome to my clinic. Do you have a seat on the sofa and the chair, please?
Thank you. I've got a lot on my mind right now.
Your name, please?
Philemon.
Philemon, just what is on your mind today?
What has to do with this letter I just received?
Then tell me about this letter, please. From whom did it come, and what did it concern? It
came from a man that I greatly respect. A man who introduced me to Christ, by the way.
So, you are a Christian.
Oh, yes. And because of this man's ministry... Hang on a second. Thank you for your patience. Yes. And because of this man's ministry, so he's right when he writes this letter that I owe him my very soul. I really do.
And yet there is something about the letter that disturbs you.
Right. He's asking me to do something very difficult. It's even impossible, and make that ridiculous.
Tell me more, please.
Well, before I tell you what he wants me to do, I've got to explain a few things to you.
Very good. I'm listening.
It all started when I found one of my slaves missing.
You have slaves?
Four.
How many?
Four, yes.
Four before one of them turned up missing or afterwards?
Well, I had four, and one ran away. So recently I bought another one. So once again I had four. And the most recent slave was like a two-for-one deal. Husband and a wife that I got for the price of one, which I split. I sold off the husband to a relative on the island of Crete. So you could say I got the fourth one, the woman, almost for free.
You sold the husband to someone very far away from here, 2 days' journey by boat in good weather, and recovered the cost of the wife?
Well, not entirely. I paid for her passage. I'm a gracious and generous man, you know.
I see. How gracious of you, to your family at least. So, what does that have to do with the letter?
Well, that slave who turned up missing, Onesimus is his name, he'd run away, just as I thought. He turned up in Rome.
Rome is full of runaway slaves, I hear.
Yeah, well, Onesimus isn't very imaginative. You know, if I were running away from my master, I'd head somewhere more creative and original than Rome.
But then Rome is so full of slaves, he could hide out among them, pretending to be in someone's service.
Well, I never thought of that.
Was he marked as a slave?
Yeah, he had the usual tattoo on both of the cheeks and then on his forehead.
Ah, I make my case. He would have stood out in the hinterland of the Phrygia or Macedonia with those marks. That is why he went to Rome, so he could fit in among all the other slaves.
Yeah, you're good.
Thank you. But tell me more how this letter fits in.
Well, remember what I told you about the man who introduced me to Christ? Well, he's in Rome too, as a prisoner under house arrest.
Ah, a Christian missionary in Rome under house arrest. Where have I heard of such a thing before? What is his name?
His name is Paul.
The former rabbi Saul from Tarsus?
Precisely. So you know him?
The Jewish world in the Roman Empire is quite small and interrelated. But this Saul made quite a name for himself, both as a rabbi in Jerusalem, when he led the persecution of Christians, and again when he became the chief proponent of the religion that he once persecuted. Such a thing becomes the talk of every synagogue, let me tell you.
Well, as I was about to say, Onesimus somehow managed to cross paths with, and you will never believe this, that very same man, Saul of Tarsus.
Unbelievable. And with so many people in Rome.
This just has to be from God. And what's more, Saul wrote me in this letter to tell me that Onesimus has become a Christian.
Yeah, this just has to be God at work.
So now, I should be expecting to get my slave back, right? Even more obedient and more submissive and more manageable than he was before.
Oh?
Yeah. Paul's letter, it's kind of hard to believe. Wait till I tell you what he wants me to do for Onesimus. He wants me to liberate him and receive him back as a brother.
And this is where you get confused?
Right, right. Can you imagine just forgiving and releasing a slave who has wronged me so deeply and receiving him back as one of my social equals?
And just how did he wrong you?
He stole from me.
He stole something from you before he ran away?
Yeah.
What did he steal? Money or jewels?
Oh, no, no. He stole himself. And right from underneath my nose.
Oh, yeah. You seem outraged that he should, as you put it, steal himself.
Of course. Can you imagine what would come of just forgiving and releasing slaves like him?
Yeah, I imagine that all the time. Tell me what you think would happen.
Well, my friends and I were discussing this just the other day.
You mean fellow slaveholding friends?
Of course, of course.
You did not discuss this matter with any slaves?
What's there to discuss? What would they have to say about it?
You'd be surprised.
Anyway, my friends and I, we agree that the first person to release any of his slaves, his name is Mud. And let me tell you, and why get the hopes and expectations of other slaves up who would do such a thing? Where would it stop?
It would stop once all the slaves were free.
Precisely. And then where would we be?
Yeah, think about it.
I have. Scares the living daylights out of me.
You don't have to live in such fear, my friend.
Nah, you're right. Before I buy any more slaves, I'm going to get me a bodyguard.
What a way to live.
Yeah, it's great. My business concerns are just taking off, and I'll be the envy of the province.
You said that you are a Christian.
Yeah. That must be the main reason my business is taking off. Praise the Lord.
Did Zol or Paul ever teach such things?
What are such things?
Excuse my accent, please. I mean, did the Rabbi Zol ever say that he was showing the way to automatic business success?
Not that I remember, come to think of it.
I didn't think so. And how about Jesus? Did he ever teach that his way plus a few slaves would guarantee such success?
Phil, I'm still taking Bible lessons from my pastor, but I'm sure I'll find something to that effect.
Oh, you think you will. Now back to this letter. What do you want to do about it?
Well, that's what I came to see you about. I need some advice.
Advice on what? You seem to have already made up your mind about releasing and forgiving Onesimus.
Right. If I release and forgive Onesimus, then I have to release and forgive all my other slaves too.
Yeah, that is right. But you have not come to ask me the morality of such a choice. You have come to ask me... Just what have you come to ask me?
I've come to ask you how I might respond to Paul without, you know, antagonizing him while staying in his good graces.
And why would that be such a problem? You seem to know already what to say.
Yeah, but
what?
Well, this Paul can be quite, you know, strong and forceful sometimes.
Some things never change. He was like that as a Pharisee and a rabbi too, I'm told.
If he lowers the boom on me and tells me that I'm fallen from grace for not forgiving and releasing Onesimus, yeah, then what?
Well, the alternative to releasing and forgiving Onesimus is to keep him on as your slave until he dies, right?
Right.
You even have the right to punish him by beating, flogging, even by executing him.
Oh, yeah. All slaves and slaveholders are watching to see just what kind of example I'm going to set.
Very interesting. I'm beginning to see another kind of slavery here. The bondage and blindness of unequal power and privilege. So, you want me to work out your dilemma for you? To tell you something that will help you do your duty as a slaveholder as you see it and still be a good Christian, is that right?
That's right. And help me put my troubled mind at ease. Life is so hard for us slaveholders. Constant responsibility and diligence and all that. So what do you say? What should I tell Paul so that he doesn't read me the riot act?
You really want to hear what I have to say?
Of course, I'm here.
Wait a moment. Do you see this scroll?
Yeah. It's about slavery.
No. It is about psychoanalysis.
Oh, the study of the soul.
Precisely. It is about techniques and analysis to help you overcome the wounds to your soul from such things as bat nursery care.
Bat nursery? Ugh! Bad nursery care.
Yeah, whatever. Excuse my accent again, please.
But my parents were very good to me.
No doubt they were. But this code, which reduces the care of the soul to techniques for overcoming the trauma of that moment in childhood, which is what you and everybody else evidently expect me to do, I'm about to pitch out the window because it leaves out something even more important. You know what that is?
Oh, no. You're the psychoanalyst, not me.
It leaves out the questions of morality and justice. It reduces the quest for happiness to matters of getting over being the last person chosen for the discus-throwing team in second grade. As though anyone could ever be happy while making other people miserable.
Who am I making miserable?
Think about it.
But my slaves are happy under my care. They're better off than free men.
Yeah, then why are they running away?
Because they don't know what's good for them.
So, if slavery is so good for people, then what are you doing free, yeah? If slavery is so good, perhaps you should be a slave too. Then you wouldn't need to come see me. You'd be so happy already.
Hey, look. I just don't have to stay here and take this. I'm leaving.
Yeah, lucky for you.
No, I'm leaving.
Feel perfectly free, my friend. In fact, I won't charge you for this half hour. It's perfectly free, too. Absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Oh, you think you're so funny, don't you? But you're not. You're treasonous, releasing the slaves. I am a loyal Roman citizen, and I won't stand by while you advocate anything that'll undermine the empire and the Roman way of life.
Yeah, and I understand that one can be crucified for doing such things.
Did you say crucified?
That's right. Crucified, like someone we both know.
Well, suddenly I don't feel like going anywhere.
Oh, did I say something wrong?
Yeah, you said crucified. Paul talked a lot about crucifixion and the cross. I wished at the time he wouldn't have, that he would have only talked about eternal life and heaven. But now I'm beginning to understand something.
Yeah?
We recently received a copy of his last letter to the Galatian church. He closed it by saying something like, "May I never boast except in the cross of Jesus." These words mystified me at the time, too. But now I'm beginning to understand something.
Yeah? Tell me.
Yeah, it was something I've been holding at arm's length. Something I don't ever want to face. Something like what Jesus himself was reported to have said.
Which is?
Which is, take up your cross and follow me. I think I know what it means now.
Well, just what does it mean to you?
It means I'm supposed to release Onesimus, plus all of my other slaves.
And forgive him?
No. I must ask Onesimus to forgive me. I must ask the other slaves to forgive me too, especially the woman whose husband I sent off to Crete.
Well, what did the other slaveholders do or think about that?
Oh, they'll probably crucify me.
I am surprised by the sudden turnaround. What made you change your mind so quickly?
Oh, I just got nailed by the truth.
Yeah, it has a way of doing that to all of us. But what truth?
What truth? Who's talking about roots?
I mean, what doctrine, what true word was it that nailed you?
I suddenly recalled that the crucified one said, whoever would be greatest among you must be a slave.
Yeah?
Yeah. Then I remembered that he also said, the Son of Man came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, which he did on the cross, by the way. So who did Jesus identify more with, the slaveholders or the slaves?
You seem to know the answer to that.
Right. He identified more with the slaves. I'm sad to say for us slaveholders. This hit me just at the same moment that I was thinking how much I'd like to see you and your kind nailed to the cross. I could even see myself holding the hammer and the nails, and I was so angry at you. Then these other words came to mind. Now I see that I am holding a hammer and some nails. And I see who I have been crucifying.
How very, very painful.
No kidding. Are you this hard on all your patients?
No, I surprised myself even. Perhaps I should apologize to you. But injustice of any sort is the most difficult kind of insanity to treat. Because it is reinforced by power, privilege, and peer pressure. Think of injustice as mob psychology. And then I find that such mob psychology is strengthened by piety and religion, I feel such great anger. I have to struggle to contain it.
Wow. Well, you need a counselor, don't you?
Yeah, I often do, my friend, but not for this kind of sanity. In fact, it is when we lose our capacity for outrage that we are most truly insane.
And some people have been outraged against me, all the while that I was blissfully unaware of it.
What a frightening thought.
What kind of ink dot? What about? Are we about doing a Rorschach test? I came for counsel, not analysis.
I meant a scary thought to realize that you have been earning the wrath of someone else.
Who said anything about rats?
I mean rat as an anchor.
Oh, now we're talking about boats and anchors. No wonder I feel adrift.
I meant anchor as in rat, as in feeling frustrated like I feel when nobody understands my accent.
Whoa. Are you about to lose your temper again? Has this been a hard day, Dr. Schrunk? Should I come back tomorrow?
Come back for advice whenever you need it on how to deal with your fellow slaveholding friends who may soon be no friends of yours anymore, no matter what you do or say.
Ah, I have better friends now. Anyway.
Oh?
Yes, Jesus and Paul and maybe Onesimus. If he's really a believer now, then may he also be a forgiver. Gotta go put that woman on the next boat to Crete. Bye. Hey, thanks.
The end.
As our hymn of response, let's stand together if you're able to number 307, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?
We are your friends on the journey. I get out quite early this morning, too. Thank you, doctor. No problem. This is our prayer and share time, where you're invited to respond to our worship service, or if you have prayer requests or joys to share with us, this is your opportunity to do that. We have quite a few women gone today out at Drift Creek Camp for women's retreat, so we're feeling a little bit sparse in our pews, but we want to remember those that are coming home today from women's retreat. I want to also remember the Berkey family. There was a beautiful remembrance time of fellowship and gathering yesterday for Alice Berkey and her family. So we want to continue to remember her children, Doug Berkey as her son from Zion, as they for comfort and peace this time. Anyone else like to share?
I think we should all take a moment to say a prayer for Floyd, who's suffering grievously with sciaticus. Floyd just has a lot of pain, and it's really hard.
Let's pray for Floyd. Lord, we come together as your body, and we join our hearts as we lift up our brother Floyd, asking that you would just touch him with your peace, that you would bring him relief, that you would be with his health care providers, giving him ways to feel better. Thank you for his life and his gifts that he brings to Zion. We just pray that your hand would be on him this morning. You would bless him. Amen. You see in your bulletin, there's other prayer requests that are broader than just Zion today. Christians of Syria, some 200 of whom were abducted in February and whose condition or location remain unknown. We want to remember that request. And also Anna Garber. I'm not sure how to say her last name there. A Mennonite worker in Burkina Faso. Request prayer for that country in the wake of recurrent unrest and reaction by some leaders. We want to remember those prayer requests.
There was an email that went out about Stephen Casey, I didn't see it in the bulletin. Maybe some people don't know they had a baby girl, and so we can pray for the healthy delivery of that.
Yeah. Is it Amelia? Amelia May was born to Stephen. Amalia? Was born to Stephen Casey. Are they here? Steve's there. Are the girls here too in the nursery? Okay, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. I want to remember. Anyone else like to share? Okay, let's go to prayer together. Lord, we just share in the joy this morning of new life. And of this precious little girl born to Steve and Casey Miller, we just thank you that they can be joined together and celebrate as new parents. We pray a blessing on them this morning. We want to lift up the Berkey family, asking that you would continue to walk with them, giving them comfort as they remember a most loved mother and grandmother this week. Continue to give them your peace. Thank you that we are one family in Christ, and that Christ's work through us can remove barriers between Christians, brothers and sisters around the world. So we lift up those places of turmoil and ask that your spirit would be present, that you would be intervening in the lives of those who follow you, who are your witnesses, that justice and peace would prevail.
Thank you for this message this morning, ways that we are stretched. And we just lift Floyd again to you, asking for your presence to be with him. We pray these things in your name. And together, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For our sending song, let's turn to number 420. Let's stand. 420, Heart with Loving Heart United.
Matthew, I just want to say thank you. I think about the social justices that we're dealing with today and how Paul's letter, it's helpful, whether it's racial tension, whether it's sexuality, whether it's immigration. And to me, it was profound, and I love the way in which it was shared. So thank you. Our benediction today, I'm actually using two of the songs we sung earlier, in 145, verse 5, and Psalm 407, verse 1, if our love were but more simple, we should rest up on God's word, and our lives would be illuminated by the presence of our Lord. And we are people of God. Peace as a new creation. Love unites and strengthens us at this celebration. Sons and daughters of the Lord, serving one another, a new covenant of peace binds us all together. Go in peace.